Seated. The text for our next scripture reading and the sermon this morning is from the book of 1 Corinthians. We are at the beginnings of a series going through that book, and we are going to be looking at verses 4 through 9 this morning of chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a faithful God, and I pray that you will be what you are, faithful to your promises. As your word is proclaimed this morning, may it go forth with your Spirit to do its work. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are approaching the time of that annual Thanksgiving holiday, and it's a time when we see around us numerous signs and commercials that tell us to be thankful or to give thanks. Sometimes those can feel a little aggressive, you know, like, yeah, okay, I'll be thankful, but if we're honest, if we think about it, we do have many things to be thankful for, whether it's as simple as a roof over our heads or the many blessings that we have in family, friends, children, pets, or just the good food that often sits on tables around this time of year. But as we make lists of things and share things that we are thankful for, we must also admit there are many things we are not thankful for. Maybe many people, that is, we're making the list of those whom we are thankful, they do not make the cut. Do difficult people end up on that list of things and people you are thankful for? All of us have difficult people in our lives, or we have people that we love dearly, but there's aspects of them that we really are not that thankful for and find quite frustrating and wish or otherwise. What I find fascinating about this opening Thanksgiving in 1 Corinthians is that in this letter, heavy on Paul's incredulous frustration with the Corinthian church, Paul opens with this very forceful expression of thanksgiving for the very ones that are frustrating to him. He opens here in verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you. And so I want us to look this morning at Paul's thanksgiving for this difficult church. And we'll do it under 4 points with a little bit more weight put on that last point. We'll look at what Paul gives thanks for, to whom Paul gives thanks, when Paul gives thanks, and why Paul gives thanks. So first, what Paul gives thanks for. Paul gives thanks, as he said, for the Corinthian church. And it's a church that is full of issues. And it's interesting that he gives thanks for a church that is in many ways not very thankful for him. He is the one who has been the apostle who has brought the gospel to them, but they seem to have moved past him and seen him as kind of yesterday's news. Not very impressive. Not somebody you'd really want to put high on your list of someone to give thanks for. If you have your Bibles open, you can turn over a few pages to chapter 4, verses 9 through 15, where Paul kind of takes on a kind of a sarcastic tone as he is talking about all the things he's experienced in comparison with the Corinthians' elevated opinion of themselves. 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 15. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all men, of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So as he's writing to this church, he's reminding them that he is the one whom God used to bring the gospel to them. But they have kind of relegated, regarded him as nothing, to the recycling bin of their faith, looking for someone or something with more panache. But as he's speaking to this church, which is in many ways very thankless towards him, he begins this letter by giving thanks for them. This is not just Paul buttering them up before he brings the hammer down. No, Paul is sincerely thankful for the Corinthian church. And so he opens this letter with this deep and sincere thanksgiving for them. But we might ask, to whom then is Paul giving thanks? To whom does he give thanks? Again, this time of year we see signs everywhere. You know, give thanks. You know, you might have a sign in your house, or we see signs in houses saying gratitude, and etc. But the question I always ask in kind of our more secular culture is, give thanks to whom? Who are you grateful to? It's kind of not stated. We're kind of told that for your own emotional well-being, it's important to be a thankful or grateful person. But we're never told to whom we're supposed to be thankful. Imagine if at Thanksgiving, your mother or some family member slaves over a meal, and as the meal is placed on your table, you say, I'm so thankful for this meal, but never express to whom you are thankful. Never acknowledge the people or those that have prepared and placed this meal. You say, I'm thankful for this. You, in that case, would not be a very thankful person. You would be the opposite. You would be very thankless. You would not be grateful. You'd be an ingrate because you do not express your thankfulness or gratefulness to the one from whom it comes. And so Paul here is indeed a thankful person, for he says that he is thankful to my God. I give thanks to my God always for you. Paul is thankful for the Corinthians, but he's thankful to God because the things he's thankful for in them are from God. This is an important point that Paul develops in this book. He is thankful for the Corinthians, but they are puffed up. They are very proud about themselves, about the many giftings that they have had. And by expressing that he is thankful to God for them, he's reminding them that they too are to be thankful. The things they are puffed up about are from God, and they too should have an orientation of thanksgiving to God for what they have received, because they're not acting as very thankful people at the moment. They're acting as very puffed up and proud people. They think they're hot stuff because of the tremendous outpouring of spiritual and other gifts. But Paul, as he will remind them later in chapter 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So Paul is thankful for the Corinthians, and he's thankful to God for them. And then we say, he's thankful for them and to God for them. When does Paul give thanks? Well, it says that he gives thanks always. Now, Paul is in general a thankful person. That is something that comes through in his letters if you read them closely. He gives thanks in times of prosperity and in times of hardship, which was more the norm than the exception for Paul. He's not a believer, as many of the kind of maybe thankfulness messages we hear. He's not a believer in the power of positive thinking, but he is a believer, if we can put it this way, as in the power of thankful thinking. Maybe that would be an interesting theme for another sermon. But as he says, in just pick one example of numerous throughout his writings, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. He is thankful in all circumstances and urges others to follow his example in good and bad. He is a thankful person, a believer in the power of thankful thinking. He believes that God is good and that God is at work, even in the most difficult situations. Again, he has been called to be an apostle, and part of his calling, he knows, is a call to suffering, but he's very thankful for the privilege of being able to, in his case, suffer for his Savior. He is unflinching at various points of the hardships that he has experienced. We read a couple of those as he was talking about the experience of the apostles, having, I think, himself the primary one in mind. But he's always giving thanks. And that always is important. He's characterized in all his prayers and experiences as a person who gives thanksgiving. And here he says that he gives thanks always for the Corinthians to God. Not meaning that every second of the day he's always giving thanks, but whenever he prays, which is a lot, whenever he brings before the Lord his prayers, the Corinthians make the cut of one of those things that he expresses thankfulness to God for. He's going to have a lot of petitions for them as well, but they make the cut in his thanksgiving section of his prayers. They're always there. He's always giving thanks for them when he gives thanks, which we know about Paul is a lot, always. And this is an important thing. We must not skip over in our own prayer life thanksgiving. We all know that thanksgiving is one of those areas for which we are to pray. We are to give thanks to God. We had a call to worship, which is a call for thanksgiving. We should not skip over that, but so often we do. So often, if you kind of look in your prayers, where do we start? We jump right over the thanksgiving to the petition. Lord, please help with this, because that's the thing that kind of most grips us at the moment. And God loves to hear our petitions. He's a loving Father. But we're also called to express our gratitude to the Lord. So often we are the thankless people. We start asking without first recognizing the gifts that have been poured out on us. Some famous chef always said that when he would go out for a meal with someone who was a prospective employee, he said that he would always look at what they do when the meal was first served to them. If they immediately got the salt and salted it before even tasting it, he wouldn't hire them. Right? He says they make assumptions. They're not even a thankful person recognizing that maybe the chef prepared this perfectly. They jump straight to petition. This needs to be saltier without even giving thanks first for the way it's been prepared. When you sit down at the table, the first thing you say is not thank you, but, well, I was hoping there'd be mashed potatoes or something along those lines. Right? Do we first recognize what we received before we start asking for other things, even good things that we're supposed to ask for? We must not skip over thanksgiving. We should be always thankful people in our prayers because we have so much for which to be thankful. God loves our petitions. but he's also someone who has given you so much already. And there's a call in, by Paul's example here to give thanks, even in this case, giving thanks for these thankless Corinthians. So we might ask, okay, yes, he gives thanks for them. He gives thanks to God for them. He gives thanks always for them. Why? Okay, Paul, why are you giving thanks for these Corinthians to God? That's the fourth point. And the first reason why he gives thanks for them is because of what they have received. He sees God's work in them. He sees how God has poured out his grace on them. I give thanks to my God always for you, verse 4, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. He's thankful to God for them because they have been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. He sees how God has been working in them, and he's so thankful to God for that. God has called you to be a church, called you to be part of his church, called you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's God's thing. And I'm so thankful to him for that, that his grace is working out. The gospel I preach has been received by you. I'm thankful to God for the grace, the unmerited favor of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. When we're dealing with particularly difficult brothers and sisters in Christ who may or may not be sitting next to you, it's important first to be thankful that God has bestowed his grace on them. Before you start getting frustrated with them, and there are many things that we are appropriately frustrated with in our brothers and sisters in Christ, or are just our brothers and sisters who are also brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to first remember they are, if they're believers in Christ, those who have received the same grace that we have received. They are undeserving recipients of the same grace that we are undeserving recipients of. And that is a reason to give thanks. Paul had a strong sense of being a man under grace, even as he speaks as an apostle, with the authority of an apostle. Even as he speaks to the church and rebukes them and says, "Stop it!" He is a man who has a great sense that he himself is a recipient of an amazing grace that he does not deserve. Again, a verse we read several times. I think it's very fundamental to understanding the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:9-10. "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me." He has a strong sense of the grace he's received. And so when he sees that grace in others, he is so thankful for it. "I thank my God because of the grace that has been given you in Jesus Christ." And he gives thanks because also this, he wants this mindset of thanksgiving that he is showing for them, for difficult people, to shape how the Corinthians relate to each other. Because as we get into the book, we'll see that there's a lot of animosity going on within the Corinthian church. In fact, at one point he'll say, "Why are you dragging each other into law courts?" There's a lot of even lawsuits going on between Corinthian believers. And he will rebuke them for that. But he's saying that this attitude of thanksgiving, even for difficult people, is the attitude he has for them, and therefore they should also have for each other. They're each undeserving recipients of grace. And you might have to confront and seek justice. That is an important thing that we are to do. This is not papering over or putting that away. Again, Paul's not going to paper over the difficulties and sins of the Corinthian church. But he's not going to jump there. He's going to start with thanksgiving for them because they are fellow recipients of grace. Something that's something to give thanks to God for. Recipients of God's amazing grace. But he's not just thankful for that kind of initiating grace, the grace that's brought them to be part of the church. He's thankful for the gifts that are present within the church. 5-7. "That in every way you were enriched in him," that's in Christ, in their union with Christ, "enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. It's confirmed by God, seeing the presence of God's gifts being worked out in them, confirmed among you, so that you were not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul notes that this Corinthian church is a very gifted church. They're not lacking in any gift. That word gift comes from the word charisma, which literally, if you kind of did a literal translation, means grace gift. It's like doubling up on the idea of a gift. It's a grace gift. It's a gift that's been given. They are a charismatic, in a sense, of graced gift church. And he singles out two particular giftings that are present in the Corinthian church, for which he is giving thanks that God has gifted them. Speech and knowledge. Again, beginning of verse 5, that you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge. Now, if you read through the book last week, as I challenged some of you, and if you haven't done that yet, I still would encourage, it's a good challenge, good Sunday afternoon activity. I hope you noticed that as you went through that two of the main issues that are facing the Corinthian church are related to those two words, speech and knowledge. Speech and knowledge. Those are two of the areas where the Corinthian church is abusing each other all over, in their being puffed up in wisdom or in how they're using the gifts of speech in relation to each other. And here at the beginning of this book, as he's about to, in some sense, rebuke them for how they're using their gifts, he gives thanks for the very gifts that he is going to say you are misusing and abusing. Maybe if we were like, I wish God hadn't even given you these gifts, because, man, you're messing things up with them. But he doesn't do that. He gives thanks that God has gifted them so powerfully with these gifts. And then he's going to go and rebuke them and say, you are misusing the gifts that have been given you. As we read in the first reading of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, he notes that the gifts that are given have been given for a purpose. God gives the gifts to his church with a particular purpose, not just to give them, but to be used in a way that honors the intentions of the gift giver. And they're to be used for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I said he could have pulled an Adam. What does Adam do in the garden when he gets confronted about his sin? And what does he say? The woman that you gave me, she took of the fruit and gave it to me. He starts blaming the gift. And so maybe Paul could have done. God, why'd you give all these gifts to them? Look what it's doing. But no, he's very thankful for them because they are indeed gifts from God. I think this is an important note for us when dealing with others. Christians certainly, but even non-Christians as well, when we look and we see that God has gifted, either in kind of creational gifting or in the sense of the church, in kind of spiritual gifting, when God is gifted, even if those gifts are being not used properly at the moment, we should say, thank you, Lord, for how you've gifted that person, who I'm pretty annoyed at right now. But thank you, Lord, for how you've gifted them, the way you've made them, the qualities that manifest your either creational goodness or manifest your redemptive goodness in that person. Thank you, Lord, because that is the work of the Spirit that has done that. And again, in giving thanks for these gifts that the Corinthians are all puffed up about, he's also challenging them and their pride, reminding them that these things are indeed gifts. Gifts from God to be received with thanksgiving and therefore used as he gave them in response to the intention of the gifter. Paul is genuinely thankful for the gifts of these thankless people. But he's not just thankful for what they have received, he's thankful for what they will receive. He gives thanks for what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do. Of the things that they will receive, he's thankful for the promise of God sustaining grace. He's talking about the kind of initiating grace. Now he's thankful for the sustaining grace of God, which he is confident will carry this frail, sinful Corinthian church to the finish line. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that there's a lot of work to do. And I'm one of the means that God has brought to do that work. But I'm confident that God will continue his work. He will carry you through. Because, again, it's of God. If I was just looking at you, I would be pretty concerned. But I'm confident that God will continue and sustain you to the end. Very similar to what Paul says to the Philippian church. A church he's much more encouraged with. Right? The Philippian church is a kind of more of a happy letter. He's much more encouraged with the Philippians. Here he's much more discouraged with them. But he has the same confidence for both churches. Those famous words in Philippians 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's given thanks for the Philippians, a church he has a lot to be thankful for. Always in my prayer, always in every prayer of mine, for all my making, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Notice the similarities in language of thanksgiving, both for this really encouraging church that is partnering with Paul and this really discouraging church in Corinth. He had the same confidence because it's the same God and the same promises. He's thankful to God that this will continue. God's grace to them is not just an initiating grace, but a sustaining one. And he also gives thanks that they will receive on that last day before the Lord, that they will receive a guiltless verdict. A guiltless verdict. And this sustaining grace will result in guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is directing them away from themselves into the grace of Jesus Christ, that their standing before God on that last day is going to be guiltless because of what Christ has done, the grace that he has given them in Jesus Christ. He is thankful that God is at work in them and desires and has a desire and a confidence that God will sustain them and declare them guiltless in the last day in Jesus Christ. That is our prayer of confidence for each of us as well. May he sustain you. I have confidence that if you are resting in Christ, he will sustain you. And on that last day, you will be declared guiltless in Jesus Christ. And lastly, he notes why they will receive it. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. His confidence is in the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. We looked at earlier at the kind of the opening greeting. He talks a lot about calling, what God has called. Called to be an apostle, called to be a church. And God is faithful. If he's called you into his fellowship, he will be faithful to sustain it. God is faithful. You might not be right now, but God is. He will do it. His confidence is in God's character. So in conclusion, we should follow Paul's example of giving thanks, always, and even giving thanks for thankless people. We should always see areas in the lives of others for which we can give thanks for what God has done in them. Who are the sometimes thankless people you need to thank God for? And again, don't look to your right or to your left. Don't look at your parents. Parents don't look at your children, even though they might be the very thankless people that come to mind right now. Because indeed, the church and our lives are full of difficult people or people who are difficult at times. It's only when we have a heart of thanksgiving to God that we can genuinely have a proper place to lovingly give thanks, but also to bring rebuke. And maybe you are one of those thankless people. Maybe you are the person that somebody else needs to give thanks for, even though you are thankless. Where does Thanksgiving sit in your own prayer life? Are you do you have an attitude of thanksgiving towards God for the grace that He has poured out on you in Jesus Christ? For the grace He has poured out on others in Jesus Christ? The grace He will pour out? So often we are like that Corinthian church. We're the thankless people. And yet Paul gives thanks for us because of the grace that is at work in us. God has gifted many of you in many extraordinary ways. And we can all see how we use some of those gifts in ways to honor that intention and ways that at times dishonor it. We should, if you feel puffed up about the gifts that God has given you, you need a little bit, you might be a little bit of a thankless person. You need to kind of have more of the attitude of Paul here in giving thanks. Because if you give thanks for something, you're recognizing that it's a gift that you did not earn or deserve. And neither should we, when we look at people who are being difficult, we should not be quick to write them off. Because God doesn't. Unfortunately, there are times when fellow believers in our lives act like thankless people, when we do as well. When their words and their sins shine through, and it's much easier to see those things than it is their gifts and graces. But Paul is teaching by example to give thanks to God for what He is doing in other people and training us to see, even amid the mess, the majesty of the Maker and the Redeemer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the grace of Jesus Christ that You have poured out on so many in this congregation, that You poured out on us. I pray that You would make us a thankful people, giving thanks to You for what You have given us, giving thanks to You for what You have given others, to thanks to You for what You will give us in that sustaining grace and that guiltless verdict on the last day in Christ Jesus. May we be those of which we can say, or others can say of us, they are a thankful people. They always give thanks, even in difficult times, even for difficult situations, even for difficult people, because they have a faithful, gracious God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.